Hello, this is Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministries with you today. We're in Genesis chapter 41, beginning at verse 17, looking again at the story of Joseph. Now, the last time we were together, I failed to pray, so maybe we can pray this time and get on into the story. Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you that even whenever we speak about Joseph, we see in him a picture of the Lord Jesus, who was rejected by his brethren, who was cast, as it were, into the pit, who was raised again into glory. Father, we just pray that you would guide in this study and help us to glorify you in it. Pray for strength for this study, understanding. Lord, we just do thank you again in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. Now, Pharaoh has called Joseph up before him to interpret his dream. And it's in verse 17 that we take up our story, and it says, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still as ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that declare it to me. So here we have just a review of everything as Pharaoh tells Joseph what's going on. And it says in verse 25 that Joseph said to Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Now, I don't know about you in your life, but a lot of times as a Christian, I like to get confirmation of what God is speaking to me about. And this is what Joseph is saying. He's saying, God has repeated this to you, and he's established it that it is so. But it don't mean that every time we dream the same dream twice that it's going to happen. That's an old wives' fable. But in this case, God was speaking to Pharaoh, telling him what he was about to do. Now, he says the seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he shows unto Pharaoh. Behold, there shall come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Now look at what Joseph has done. Something that we didn't notice the last time we were together, when Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, he made himself presentable. And now when Joseph comes before Pharaoh and he interprets the dream of Pharaoh for him, he goes an extra mile again. Not only does he tell him this is what God says is going to happen, but he gives Pharaoh a plan on how to cure this problem that's about to occur. Now, you know, God can speak to us and God can speak through us, but sometimes God uses gifts that he has given to us in a very practical way to fulfill his will. And there is nothing wrong with using a little bit of common sense. Sometimes we think when we pick up the Bible or when we get saved, we lay down everything else. We lay down science, we lay down good sense, we lay down everything. This is not so. It's the farthest thing from it that could be at all possible. Whenever a person gets saved, their eyes are open, and rather than laying aside things, we pick up things that we never understood before. Not only do we now understand the difference between the spiritual world and the natural world, but we also understand the way the natural world works in a much better way. I can say this, I've learned more since I got saved than I ever did before I was saved. I've learned things that are so important in this world because we don't close our eyes and stick our fingers in our ears and say, let's wait on the Lord to come. We're very much aware of what is going on in the world today, possibly more aware than one would even know, that as we see the day approaching and the day of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Why do you think we're on the radio preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, beseeching you to get saved? It's because God has spoken to us in His Word, and He has said He is on His way. He said He is tarrying, but when He comes, He will not tarry. It's right now the long-suffering of God, but one day He will come. But back to what we were talking about, He doesn't ask us to quit using our common sense. And this is all that Joseph did, and he goes the extra mile. And he speaks to Pharaoh and tells him what needs to be done. Well, it says in verse 37 that the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. The Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, and a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a chain of gold about his neck. Now, Pharaoh noticed immediately, and not only Pharaoh, but he turns to his servants and he speaks to his servants and asks them about it. He says, I'm impressed with this young man. And is there anybody like him, as discreet or as wise? And of course the servants were enamored also by Joseph. Not only did God speak through him, but he had also given him good sense. And he says, here is what I'm going to do, Joseph. I'm going to raise you up over my house, and the only person that will be greater than you is me. So Pharaoh raises Joseph up and sets him over all the land of Egypt. Think about this. Here's the young man who was rejected by his brothers, who was cast into the pit and sold into slavery, who was living in the dungeon, taking care of the prisoners, a servant of servants, now put over all the land of Egypt. The Lord speaks of His servants as being faithful in the little things. Sometimes we think when we're working for God that this thing that we do is far too small. But what do we expect? He expects us to be faithful in the little things, and then we will be able to be faithful in the many. And that's how God trains His servants, so that we begin with little things. And God moves us up from there. And now, Joseph is over all the land of Egypt. And now it says that he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Now Joseph has been set in all the land of Egypt. And they go through Egypt, and they make them bow the knee to him. Here's a Hebrew, a nobody, suddenly ruler over all the land of Egypt. This is an act of God. Pharaoh says, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Joseph, you're in control. Now, Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And he gave him the wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. I want to stop here for a second. Do you remember what has happened to Joseph? At this time, Egypt is the chief power in the world, chief world kingdom at this particular time. Joseph's 11 brothers have thrown him in the pit. Potiphar has thrown him in the dungeon. The butler has forgotten him for 2 years while he was in the dungeon. And yet in all the scripture, we read nothing about the vengeance of Joseph. Now, if you're saved today, this is something for us to look at. When God says, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, saith the Lord. We have to remember that when we let things go and we give them to God and say, Lord, they have done me wrong, but I'm putting it into your hands, God does not forget. And we also have to remember, whenever, if ever, God puts us in a power of control over these people, or a place of position over them, vengeance is still His. He will repay because He has said so. It is not our place to take vengeance on people. You know, that's one of the hardest things to do. I would just be honest, I believe it's harder to not take vengeance than it is to take vengeance. Our television screens are covered up with people now who are always consistently, constantly taking vengeance. A vengeful people, we Americans are. We can't let anybody get over on us. I've heard so many people say, if you let somebody get over on you, they'll run over you the rest of your life. Do we really believe that God is in control of the situation, though? If He's really in control of the situation, and He is, then we can turn these things over to Him, and He will deal with it in His own good time. And we have to trust to His wisdom. That is easily said, I realize that. But it is a fact, nevertheless. Please attempt to do this if you're a child of God. This has been Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads of Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
We certainly hope that you'll contact us if you have any concerns or questions. Feel free to call us this week at 879-5695. So for Jeff Buckles and Mark BB, this is Mike Moody, the Two Roads to Destiny Radio Ministry. Join us tomorrow.